Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback, 7 minutes after 8 in the morning. Thank you for letting us be part of your Tuesday. We'll do what we can to make sure that we don't waste any of your time. Let's jump right into the subject du jour, Syria, the latest development. 715-845-2155 is the phone number if you'd like to be a part of the program. All right, it appears that the Syrian government has listened to the proposal from the Soviet or the Russian government. I still like to call them Soviets.
They're puppet masters, yes.
And apparently they are saying, "Da, we'll take, yeah, sure, we'll take your offer." Russian has proposed that international forces take possession of, inspection of, and probably destruction, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about, yes.
Of any and all chemical weapons that Syria may have. This in hopes that it would avoid any kind of a military action from the rest of the world, specifically us. Now, this says a couple things to me. First of all, I would like to see a resolution of this issue diplomatically without us having to throw bullets and bombs and missiles at the Syrians. I think that would be the better of the outcomes. But having said that, I think a diplomatic outcome is better. There's some things here I don't that smell funny that I'm suspicious of. First of all, with the Syrians accepting the Russian proposal, it is paramount to the Syrians saying, yeah, we got chemical weapons and yeah, we used them. So what are you going to do about it? You know, you're going to take them away from us? Okay. Well, we'll just have to wait a few months and we'll make more, of course. Do you disagree with that? If they're just going to take possession of the existing weapons or the existing chemicals.
Well, I would imagine part of the agreement will be to dismantle the factories, take the equipment that they use to make the weapons, and if in fact you do make any more, the threat of military action is always hanging over their heads.
Okay, let me
first
address
of all,
that.
This wouldn't have happened. This diplomatic initiative wouldn't have happened without the threat of military force. I agree with the president when he said that the Russians went to the Syrians and say, "You're going to do this because we do not need an escalation of military action in the Middle East. We do not need Russian civilians on the ground being killed. That would force a response from us, and we do not want that to happen."
Yeah, so we don't want to get into it with them.
Yeah, the Russians told the Syrians, "This is happening."
All right, so it says to me that Syria has acknowledged the fact that they have them and they're going to use them. So it would indicate that the intelligence reports that we have been receiving may be legitimate.
Yeah, if they agree to this, how do they go back to say it wasn't us that used them, it was the rebels?
All right, that's the first thing. All right, that's the first thing that strikes me. The second thing that strikes me is if this is going to be the case, why are we expecting the president to come on tonight and have a discussion where is he still trying to drum up support for a military strike on Syria?
Well, we'll have to hear what he says. I'm sure the speech is changing as we go through the day today, if in fact this deal can be brokered.
Yeah.
It may be that
the White House has made a statement so far that they don't trust the Syrians and that they're not confident that they will actually act in good faith on what they are saying they're going to do. That's the second thing that bothers me. And the third thing is what bothered me from yesterday, John Kerry's statement. Do you remember what he said yesterday in a speech about the impending attack?
Remind me.
It would be brief and very small. And so all of the other people that were in the room were like, "Wow, that's way to intimidate our enemies there, John. Way to go, buddy." There was that, and it sent a mixed message out when you have the Secretary of State telling the American people, "Yeah, it needs to be done, but don't worry about it. It's going to be minuscule and relatively ineffective."
Well, I don't think he said that.
In essence, yeah, he did. I mean, when you're the enemy and you go, he said what? Small and what? Oh, Okay, so
aiming his remarks at the people of the United States who are against military intervention because they think it's going to escalate into something bigger.
So it's politics on both sides. So and last but not least, I know this is a point of contention for Tom, and he doesn't believe me when I say this, but the rest of the world is seeing the resolution of this problem not being brought forth by the Americans, not from the innovation and leadership of the American president, but the creativity and level-headedness and coolness of the Russian president.
Please.
Okay, how do you disagree with that?
First of all, like I just said a few minutes ago, this initiative would not have happened if it wasn't for the threat of military action by the United States.
Okay.
And second, Putin is basically self-serving here. He is serving the Syrians up on a platter to us by saying, by forcing them to do this.
Sure. That does not address the issue of the Americans appearing weak.
How do we appear weak when we basically force the Russians into doing this with the threat of military action?
It makes us appear weak because I don't believe anybody in the extremist Muslim community fears the strike from America when it comes from missiles and drones.
The Al-Qaeda militants who have been blown up continually by drones and missiles for the last 2, 3, 4 years would disagree with you.
The ones that the ones that have been blown up are enjoying their afterlife with the 72 virgins.
Their families and the ones who replaced them would disagree with you.
Now, what they don't understand, it's 72 virgin goats. But I mean, that's they find that out when they're there. Like, this is the promise.
Careful, there will be a fatwa put out on you. Sure,
bring it.
Bring it. He says,
bring it. Take your fatwa and stick it where the sun don't shine. I don't believe that the radical Muslim extremists consider us to be a viable threat. Yes, we blow something up every once in a while, but big deal. They blow themselves up. The Iraqi,
not the leadership.
They're the brave ones.
It's the dumb ones that they can find to do it.
Ahmed, would you come here for a moment? Please put on this bomb vest and go into the market square, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great leader, what about you? No. I have got to come up with the ideas. You go, they blow up so fast nowadays, don't they, dear? No.
I don't believe that we are seen when
problem
it comes to...
The problem is when the fatwa comes, I'm going to be standing near you, and I'm going to be caught up as collateral damage.
Collateral damage? You're my shield. Thanks for calling. What's your name, and what can we do for you this morning?
My name is John.
Hey, John, what can we do for you?
What I think was happening is somewhat of an embarrassment. Obama, they asked for two reasons. Number one, Putin was taking the ball and being in charge.
Yeah.
And number two, all Obama's doing is drawing another red line in the sand. It's like if you cross this one, you're going to be in trouble. Now, if you cross this one, you're going to really be in trouble.
Well, he's taking the lead from the UN. That's what the UN does. You know, if you violate this resolution, we're going to draw another one, and it will be delivered to you with a really stern look on our face.
And if you don't do that one, we'll do another one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That was the whole reason why I was gung-ho with our action against Saddam Hussein. Enough of the talk from the UN. Enough talk. It was time for us to take some action. He was every time the UN would say something like, all right, you've only got 30 days now, he would laugh and go, yeah, okay, I've heard that for the last 6 months. 30 days, schmurdy days. There is one other thing that is bothering me, and we'll get into it next. I want to take a quick break, and we'll play a couple commercials and pay a couple bills. And then there's one other thing that's bothering me, and it is the persistent... theories that there is a connection of what went down in Benghazi and what's happening with the rebels against the Assad government. Again, you know me. I'm not one to advocate a lot of tinfoil hat thinking, but there is some interesting correlation between the two, and I thought we ought to run it down. 715-845-2155. We'll be right back.
The News, Talk, and Packers Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9,
WSAU. Welcome back to Feedback. It is 8:20. All right, the phones are lit up. Let's see if we can answer a few phone calls. Thanks for calling, Sherry. I believe you are up first. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Seth. Love your show, and hi, Tom.
brother, here we go.
No, we're not taking a trip with Tom. Thank you. Anyway, I just wanted to ask if anybody else had thought of, it's a wonderful thing that Assad has agreed to turn over his chemical weapons, but what about the rebels? There was question as to whether the rebels were the ones who actually were doing the chemical bombing.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the rebels here in just a minute. There is a lot of questions about the rebels, our tie to the rebels. Why are we finding it necessary to fund anything that is and back anything that is related to the Muslim Brotherhood? Sherry, thank you. Very much for that. I appreciate that. And that is exactly what we're going to start talking about next. All right, let's talk to Tracy on line four. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the Syrian thing. And just so you know that on the hold button, it's just music. You can't hear you guys talking.
Did you dance to the music? Because it's supposed to be good music.
It was good, but right, just wanted to let you know. Yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to make a comment about the whole Syrian thing. And I, for one, am done and over with, and along with my friends and a lot of family members, our U.S. military being played like this. Our U.S. military is not designed to be the police force of the world. They are designed to keep the American people safe.
Mm-hmm.
It is not our job to go out and police the world.
Have you seen the latest commercials that the U.S. Navy is running on national TV? They are calling themselves a global force for good. That's what they're advertising.
Well, that's not a global
at.
Police force, Tom.
It's not?
No.
The fact of the matter is it doesn't matter. It matters what the Constitution says. And our Constitution says they are not. And this is not an imminent threat to the American people or our lands. So Obama does not have any constitutional right if
did
Congress
you say this, did
says
you,
no.
Did you say the same thing about Iraq?
With Iraq? Now, I was quite a bit younger then. I was not as formed as I was now. But I'll tell you what, the difference between Iraq, Afghanistan, and what this is, there was a lot of emotion. We just got bombed by 9/11. You know, I was not paying as much attention then. I was quite young.
All right, Trudy. Yeah, you've brought up a couple really good points, so let me address them, and I'm going to let you go. As far as whether or not we should be involved, there is an argument that I will support in this. You cannot have a dictator, a leader of a country, get the idea that he is above retaliation, above the law, when it comes to international agreed-upon standards.
Unless it's in Africa where we really don't care that much.
All right, name me one African leader that used chemical weapons against these people.
Well, it may not be chemical weapons,
okay,
but genocide is the...
Genocide
know.
is a brutal, unfortunate, horrible thing. I am talking there, you have to draw the line, and where I'm drawing the line is the use of chemical weapons. When Assad believes that he is so impervious to the international community that he can thumb his nose at his Russian puppet master, like you said, and to the rest of the international community and use chemical weapons on his own people, that's when, yes, something has to be done. And when the phrase something has to be done, that means the United States. We're the ones that take charge. We're the ones that organize the military action. We're the ones that put it together. We're the ones that build the coalition. We're the ones that take the action. Should there be worldwide support for it? Absolutely. But when they say, oh, something's got to be done, especially the French, when they start yelling, and the Saudis, it's us that they're talking about.
If you are suggesting then that we shouldn't be the American or the world's police force, who would you like to abdicate that role to?
No, I'm saying that when something like that happens, yes, we should be. We are the world's superpower. Now, if Obama would quit spending money like a drunken Navy, we'd actually have maybe some money in order to do these important things. But no, we have to, like it was in the Sean Hannity update, we have to spend money on ridiculous things instead. Now, having said that, we have to be very careful about getting involved. We have to be very, very precise. If this circumstance can be resolved diplomatically where they allow the international peacekeepers, the international forces to inspect, take possession of, and destroy the chemical weapons, that's fine. But now we've established one more time where a leader does something heinous and he basically gets a slap on the wrist. Nothing happens to him. What's going to prevent him from doing it again a second time? If the
president of the United States would have sent in the missiles when this first happened, he would have been excoriated, and rightly so.
And the missiles would have blown up a factory, and maybe
your side is making the suggestion that we shouldn't have warned Assad. We should have sent in the missiles immediately after the chemicals were used to take out the factories and degrade the military.
Blown Assad into little bits. That's what I have said.
If the Obama administration would have done that, he would have been excoriated. He might have been impeached if that would have happened.
He should have blown Assad into little bits. All right. So,
well, that's an act of war.
Yes, it is. All right. So, having said all of that, there is the last issue about this that has really got me thinking. From the very beginning in the Benghazi issue, there was theories that connected Ambassador Stevens to weapons deals. There was a lot of questions as to why was Ambassador Stevens in Benghazi? Why was he there without his normal security detail? What was going on? It has come to light that in the uprising that happened in Egypt, that the Muslim Brotherhood was basically backed by us. Either outright support, financial support, small arms. There's been theories that we were basically backing the Muslim Brotherhood. When Gaddafi was ousted, the Muslim Brotherhood were all over this. And again, there's a lot of indication that we backed that as well, financially and perhaps militarily. And now the Muslim Brotherhood is involved with the rebel forces fighting against al-Assad in Syria. And so it appears to me that we have established, albeit maybe a secretive, but a pattern of supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. Why? The Muslim Brotherhood is an organization, we've had this discussion before, that is not interested in working together with their Muslim brothers and the Middle Eastern brothers. They want Sharia law imposed. They want strict adherence to Sharia law. And that doesn't mean that they're going to get along with us after we've helped them. It appears to me, and follow with me here, if indeed, and I know that's if as big as Jennifer Lopez's backside, but if we supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and if we supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya, and if we were supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, doesn't that make a little bit of it easier to understand why Obama would push for a military strike against the Syrian government, al-Assad? If we're backdoor supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and we find the opportunity to front door bomb the Muslim Brotherhood's opposition, well, that would be a perfect circumstance for Obama, wouldn't it? Especially if he could get the United States to get behind him and support it, and the international community to support him.
So you were suggesting if the president chooses to bomb and send missiles into Syria, it is because he is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood?
I'm saying this is a theory that I want to pay more attention to. It seems to me he got himself into a bit of a sticky circumstance.
This is part of his being a secret Muslim?
No, I don't. No, I've never said he was a Muslim.
Other people have.
Lot of people have said he's a Muslim. I believe, and I have said this, he is sympathetic to the Muslim belief. He is sympathetic to the Muslim faith. He is sympathetic to the Muslim cause. That is obvious.
Sympathetic to the Muslim cause.
Yes.
The cause. What cause are you talking about?
If you have an individual that needs to make a decision between the Christian view of the world or the Muslim view of the world, Obama has been very, very sympathetic to the Muslim worldview. And he has been very dismissive of the Christian worldview. And if you want to take this to the argument that we've had before, of good versus evil, black and white.
You were suggesting that the president of the United States is sympathetic to a Muslim worldview of a caliphate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is sympathetic. I didn't say supportive, did I? You have to understand the English language.
Sympathetic. See. Okay.
Sympathetic.
So you're picking nits here.
I'm being precise in my verbiage. I am being precise in my understanding of what our president is doing. Did I say supportive? No. Sympathetic? Absolutely. Sympathetic can be a result of ignorance. Sympathetic can be a result of being lied to and believing falsehoods. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he is being lied to and believes falsehoods.
Lied to
but
by,
he is sympathetic to the Muslim worldview.
Lied to by who?
Muslim leaders. Individuals that he pays attention to. Look at the individuals he has had around him. Look at the individuals that he has brought in and had as counsel. Then you can understand why I say this. He is sympathetic to the Muslim worldview. He is dismissive of the Christian worldview. And that is a very clear indicator between good versus evil. And there ain't no other way to explain that one. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. More of your phone calls when we come back. 715-845-2155.
Be the first to know when school's closed. Text SCHOOL to 39327 and get school closing alerts from the WSAU newsroom. From AM 550, FM 99.9 and WSAU.com.